Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministry, teaching you how to become totally debt-free. We have a small group Bible study available called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. The Bible study will guide you to total financial freedom. Take a look at the 9 topics discussed over the course of the 9 weeks by going to compasscatholic.org, click on Bible Studies, and you'll see Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Once you've taken a look and the light goes on and it says, this is perfect for me, fill out the contact form you see on the website and we'll get back in touch with you. John and Evelyn Bean, who are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministry, join me in the studio today. And John, in the news, a lot of talk about money and taxes. And when I think of taxes, I think of money leaving my pockets. But you and Evelyn today are going to talk about taxes, tax planning, year-round planning. And to me, that kind of feels like you're going to tell me ways of keeping more of the money back in my pockets.
I think that it's really important to understand the verse from Mark 12:7, where
12:17,
right? Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he said to them, and they'd been tempting him with a denarii, and he says, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." You know, when you start thinking about taxes, people get all these ideas. Oh, how can I avoid my taxes? Can I do this or can I do that? It's simple. The Bible says, pay your taxes. Pay to Caesar what he's due. As you're preparing, you know, you've only got a couple of weeks left to get your taxes finished and turned in. So you got this deadline coming, but trimming your tax bill is something that you can do all year long. You can save a lot of money through different strategies. When you file your taxes, you're going to get the best savings you can get if you have a year-round approach.
So I'm assuming, because you're talking about a year-round approach to taxes, that you've got some ideas so that people know what to do during the year. So next year, when tax time rolls around, it'll be easier to pay their taxes and get all the information they need.
No, I thought you were going to do that.
Well, let's talk about the first idea. The first idea is to give yourself a raise. How does that
work? I am in favor of that.
But if you give yourself a raise, that means your taxes are higher, right?
In all probability, because if you give yourself a raise, that means you're probably going to get a refund back this year. If you're getting that refund back, that means that you're having too much money withdrawn out of your paycheck every time you get it. You can give yourself a raise by changing the amount of deductions that you have on your W-4.
So wait a minute. The people that talk about, oh, it's just great, I got money back from my taxes. I got $500 or $1,000 back from my taxes. That's not a good thing?
Well, it's a good thing because they're getting money back they don't have to pay. But just say, you know, the average person who gets a refund gets more than $2,400 back.
So that means if they had their W-2 or W-4s, yeah, filled out correctly, they would have $200 extra every month if it was a net zero gain.
Bingo!
Okay, I understand what you're talking about now.
You know, it's funny. I think some people, though, psychologically enjoy getting the big check from Uncle Sam than they would saving the $240 a month.
I think there's an incentive there to try to get money back because you feel like you're taking advantage of the government somehow when you get money back on your taxes.
When in reality, they're taking advantage of you all year long because you're paying too much.
And you got it.
Exactly. And, you know, I think some people, they know they're going to get that money back, and so they're less likely to be really monitoring their debt and paying attention to getting everything paid off. And so they're actually costing themselves even more money because they have to pay the interest charges on the debt that they haven't paid off.
And then when the tax refund comes in, then they pay off the debt. But throughout the whole year, they've, number one, given the government money. Number two, not allowed
free.
Themselves
they've
to use
They've given the government money for free.
Yep. Not allowed themselves to use that money and racked up the credit card bills with interest rates during the course of the year. So that's, and we did that.
We've done it in the past.
Yeah, a long time ago.
We don't
before
come
we got
anywhere
smart.
Close to it now.
Yeah, we like to be on the net zero plan if we can.
I used to have an employee that looked forward to getting a tax refund. He called it his vacation fund, and he never knew where he was going on vacation until he knew how much he was getting back from the government. And I would always tell him, why don't you save for the vacation 12 months out of the year? He said, it's better this way. That way it's a surprise.
Okay. Well, you know, I had a boss once that was, he was really a very cheap guy, I guess is a nice way to put it. He kept a purple polyester jacket in his car in case he needed to call on a customer.
Nice.
And it was in his trunk, so it, you know, it was not in good shape. But anyhow, for some reason, one year we got watches at work. And he figured out how much of an impact that $50 watch was going to have on his taxes. And he turned it down because it was going to up his tax bill by like 2 cents or something. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you've had a couple of bosses, like the one who just drank hot water instead of coffee because it was free.
He didn't want to pay for the coffee. So how do you make sure your W-4 deductions are correct, John?
Well, you know, there's just all kinds of calculators out there, including calculators from the IRS and probably from most banks, that will lead you through a process of listing how much your income is, how much you're having withheld currently, how much your giving is, what the interest is you pay over the course of the year, like for your mortgage and things like that. So it goes through how many dependents do you have. It goes through all this statistics. And at the end, you hit the button and it'll say, you should claim X and your refund will be $75.
So just because there's a mom and dad and two kids doesn't mean your deductions are four people.
No, not at all. I don't think that we ever only claimed three exemptions for you and me and Matt. We were always at six or seven or something like that because I calculated what it was. The other thing that bears in on this is if you've got a qualified plan, you're putting money in a 401k, you're putting money in an IRA, you know, those are pre-tax dollars and they get set aside. So you're not taxed on those. And that affects your tax bill, too. So there's a lot of different things. So that's why these calculators are so good, and it gives you a great idea. And then as the year goes along, if you're tracking your spending.
I was going to bring that up because in order to fill in all that information, you really need to know what you're spending and how much you're putting into your qualified plan and what your standard giving is and that sort of thing.
Well, we know you've been listening to us every week, and you've been tracking your spending. So I've already just considered that you're doing that. And, you know, another thing, and this was a real revelation to me as I discovered it, because, you know, my dad always told me, you should put in your 401k as much as you can, but especially as much as the employer is going to match. In our case, at that particular point in our life, my employer matched 6% at 50 cents.
So you could contribute up to 6% of your income, and for every dollar you put in, the employer put in 50 cents.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. When I first started out, we were really poor, and we weren't making that much money, and I was only putting in like 3 or 4%. That's all I felt that I could afford to put in. And then as I started understanding how this works and doing the calculations and stuff, I found out that I could put in the full 6% and it didn't really change my take-home pay.
Oh, because of the deductions.
Because of the deductions, and it's before tax income, and so it actually reduced the amount that was taxable. And, you know, there's a whole series of calculations there that the computer will do for you. But I mean, it might have made $5 difference or $10 difference, but I added like 2% or 3%. That's a huge thing. With your 401k, you can put up to $18,000 a year in your retirement plan. And if you're over 50, they have what's called a catch-up provision. And so you can put as much as another $6,000. So that would be a total over the year, if you're over 50, of $24,000 that you could save for your retirement savings.
Now, on 401k, some people look on those as kind of a safety net where they can borrow money against the 401k. But that's money specifically earmarked for retirement. They shouldn't be borrowing that, right?
I agree, absolutely. But you still, you can, but it, you shouldn't.
Because you get taxed on the money you take out when you take it out.
That's as income.
As income, yes. Mm-hmm. And well, if you take it out and you don't put it back in, you're taxed. And if you're less than 59, you have to pay a 10% penalty.
Oh, in addition to getting the tax hit.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So it's hefty.
And you can only borrow against it for certain, like medical, buy a home, education. I don't think
there's limits. Yeah,
yeah,
there's
you can't
limits.
Just go on vacation.
And you know, they change over the years, so you have to be careful about that. But yeah, we got hit. You know, when we were really sucking wind. And we took all of our money out of our IRAs through work, we had to pay a 10% penalty. But we needed money, and we didn't have any choice, and it was a bad choice to make. But it's the choice we made.
And we learned from it, didn't we?
I hope we did.
And if so, you really want to, if you borrowed against the 401k, you want to pay it back as quickly as possible. But what happens if you leave the job? You know, if you're working for XYZ company, you leave the job.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. If you leave the job and haven't paid it back, you're going to get taxed on what you withdrew. And if you're less than 59, you're going to have a 10% penalty also. So if you're going to leave your job, make sure you pay that loan back before you leave.
Saving money on your taxes. John and Evelyn shared a number of great points these first 15 minutes. And we will post all those points on our website, in case you didn't get a chance to jot some of those down. Just go to compasscatholic.org and just scroll down to Compass on the Radio. Click that on and you'll see the show notes for this program. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. Now, our ministry will teach you what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. We have small group studies available, and the one in particular that we're referring to in today's show is called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. We take the biblical principles and we walk you through the process of eliminating your debt. And we'll also show you how to live a debt-free life. There's no secret to what we're going to show you. It's all in the Bible. We just took the 2,500 verses, kind of condensed it down to 9 weeks, and it's just a fascinating program. You can look at the topics that are discussed over those 9 weeks by going to compasscatholic.org, click on Bible studies, and that first study that shows up will be the one that we're referring to, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Well, today, John and Evelyn are taking us through ways to save money on our taxes. And John, a few minutes ago, you and Evelyn were discussing the benefits of participating in your employer's 401k, if it's available. Now, let's focus on retirement programs that we as individuals have to manage ourselves. And the choices are an IRA or a Roth IRA.
Yeah, it would be a traditional. I would put the term traditional in front of it, because traditional IRAs were developed and implemented back in the 70s, I guess. So they've been around for a long time. Roth IRAs were only created in the late 90s, early 2000s.
So how much can you put in one of those?
Well, you can put a maximum in 2017 of $5,500 in each one, but you can't necessarily have both of them.
That's
okay, because there's limits based on your income. You can also, if you're over 50, you can do the catch-up, just like with your employer. It's just not as much. Just actually, it's a good thing that these things are $5,500. When they first started, you could only put in $2,000.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, $167 a month was what you could put in. But now it's up to $5,500, and the catch-up fee, or the amount that you can add if you're over 50, is an extra $1,000. And the thing about both of these investments, a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA, is they allow your investments to grow and compound on a tax-deferred basis. That means you don't have to worry about paying taxes on any of the capital gains and dividends you receive throughout the year.
So when do you pay your taxes? Surely they charge taxes on these at some point.
Well, sometimes, kind of. The traditional IRA is taxed when you withdraw the money. Okay. So after you reach 59 and a half, you can withdraw the principal or the interest. And then at that point in time, you would pay taxes on whatever you withdrew at your current tax rate.
Okay.
That's the traditional IRA.
And what about the Roth?
So this is where the Roth is really different than a traditional IRA. And the thing we didn't talk about on a traditional IRA is that your contributions are deductible in the year you make them. If you contributed $5,500, then that is something you could deduct from your income on your tax form. A Roth IRA is different because it's done with after-tax dollars. So you can't deduct your contributions to the Roth in the year that you make them. But the beauty is all of the gains that you make on a Roth IRA are not taxable. So if over the years you've contributed, let's just say $50,000, and the gains are equal to $50,000, so you've got $100,000 in your account, you can withdraw that whole $100,000 without having to pay taxes. That's the beauty. And the longer you keep the Roth and the greater the gains are, it's never going to be taxable.
So why would anybody want to have a traditional IRA then?
Well, because the contributions are deductible at the time you make them. And for some people, that is a factor. But in my mind, if you're looking at long-term as opposed to short-term, you need to go the way of the Roth, I would think. And, you know, the other thing is that your ability to contribute to a Roth is also determined by income level. And the more income that you make, once you get up to, $130,000 AGI, you can't make a Roth contribution anymore. So they limit you in that respect also.
All right. What about, there's health savings accounts? Like, how does that affect your taxes?
Well, there's a thing called a health saving account or a flexible spending account that your employer might offer you as a flex plan as part of your health benefits package. And what that is it lets you divert part of your salary. I think currently it's in 2017, it'll be $2,600 per year. You can divert that much money into the plan, and so you don't pay taxes on that money. And then when you have a medical bill or a pharmacy bill or anything like that come up, you can pay for that bill out of this flex plan.
So that's a way to cover your deductible or anything your insurance doesn't cover with money that's not taxed.
That's correct. That's correct.
I think what you have to watch there are some plans that if you don't use it, you lose it.
Oh, that's not good.
Now, some will let you roll that over into the following year until there's a certain cap.
And there are multiple plans out there, and they all have different parameters. And some of them will, what Steve said, you don't use it, you lose it. And that's one of the reasons why we never used one of those, is because we really never had that much in health payments anyway, so it wasn't a good deal. But the cap, Steve, because I looked that up this morning, the cap is $500. So it's not huge. Yeah. Now, the other thing that they've done is they've modified the restrictions so that you can, if you got a whole bunch in at the end of the year and then it carries over into the first quarter, for the first quarter, you can tack that back into last year's bills to help use up, unused funds in that health spending plan.
But it can only be used for health-related stuff. You can't just go on vacation with it, right?
No.
Right.
No.
I was just looking for Steve's friend for a way to spend money on his vacation. And what about kids? Kids are tax deductible, right?
For every child, you get a regular deduction of, I think in 2017, it's going to be $4,050. It's a funny thing. There's people who are pregnant and expected to be delivering in December. Are they going to make it?
Oh, the tax babies.
Yeah. You know, that person who has the first baby born in the new year, they just lost $4,000 on their taxes.
Yeah, but they gained free diapers for next month.
So we see so many pregnant women walking around on December 31st.
There's also child care you can use with pre-taxes. You need to look into that, but some employers offer that as a plan in their benefits program, and that can be pre-tax dollars.
So once you have a baby, then you need to go back and revisit your W-4 just to make sure it's right based on your new family situation.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And you know, if you're adopting a child, you can deduct a lot of the expenses on the cost of adoption up to a little over $13,000. So that's a big deal because it does cost a lot of money to adopt a child.
And there again, it's important to track your expenses because it may be a lot of little expenses over a long period of time that would add up to a huge chunk of change if you're adopting a baby.
Yep, absolutely.
So it gets back to keeping track.
Yep, yep.
What about college money? Putting money aside for the kids' college, how does that work?
Well, you know, there's some different ways to do that. The best way probably is through a 529 account. The good thing about a 529 account, if you have multiple children or grandchildren, you can start an account, a separate one for each one of the children. But if the oldest one doesn't use all the money that's been allocated in their account, you can roll it over to any of the following children. So that money is definitely not lost. That's a big thing.
Now, what about if none of the kids go to college? Do you get the money back?
There are some
restrictions
on it, yeah, on how it can be used. So you got to look at that and look at what you want to use it for. And you know, I mean, there's so many different ways that you could get into that. We don't want to go there. The other thing is, what about if you're looking for a job? Keep track of your expenses because you can deduct your job hunting expenses and your moving expenses if it's more than 50 miles away from your home and stuff like that. Everything we've talked about today, we're talking about saving money on your taxes. And it's not just an April the 15th tax day exercise. If, and I should change that to say, since you are keeping track of your income, there's many different ways that you can save on your taxes as the year goes along. You know, in the beginning, we quoted what Jesus said in Mark 12:17. Jesus said to pay Caesar what belongs to him. But guess what? If Caesar creates rules that allow you to pay less, then take advantage of those opportunities.
A lot of great information that was shared today, how to save money on your taxes. Now, if you missed any of the hot bullet points, don't worry. Two things you can do. You can listen to this show by going to compasscatholic.org. Click on Compass on the Radio and you can download it and listen to it when you're ready. Or take a look at show notes because we're going to list all those money saving points there in the show notes as well. That's compasscatholic.org. Click on Compass on the Radio. You can either download today's show or take a look at the show notes. And as is our tradition, we'd like to answer an email from one of our listeners. And this one's great because it ties into one of those money-saving tax ideas that John and Evelyn shared about a 401k. And the email says, John and Evelyn, I am 26 and my job is offering a 401k and matches every 50 cents. So how much should I contribute each paycheck? Now, my husband also works for the same company, so how much should he contribute?
If you're 26 and you're starting to save for your retirement now, that's a fabulous position to be in because you've got a lot of time to let that money grow for you. So you should take advantage of every penny that your employer is going to match.
Yeah, I would probably try to be consistent in saving at least 10% of your income. So that means you're going to get another 5%. So the total that you would be saving is 15%. It's a really unusual situation where an employer will match 50% with no cap on it. That's an unbelievable situation, and I would take advantage of that as much as I could, while at the same time maintaining a good budget and making sure that you're not shorting yourself in other areas of your budget categories.
And if you have a question or two that you would like John and Evelyn's advice on, simply email the questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. Now, remember, if you missed any of today's podcasts, you can go to compasscatholic.org, click on Compass on the Radio, and download today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Hope to see you soon. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministries on Breadbox Media.